Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of Young Hollywood Actors and the Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is actor Dylan Arnold. Dylan is known for his work on Halloween, Nashville, Mudbound, and Laggies, and he stars in the new movie After, which hits theaters on April 12th. Full disclosure, I have known Dylan since he was a kid, performing at Bainbridge Performing Arts with my daughter, Dove Cameron.
It's true.
It's so cool.
Very long time.
Welcome to the podcast,
Thank
Dylan.
You. Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm happy to talk about this stuff.
It's so fun. I just have these vivid memories of the two of you guys on stage together.
I know. That was like, I mean, in full honesty, she was probably one of my first big crushes when I was a little kid. You know, we would do theater classes all the time, every summer, even during the school year. So it was pretty cool for me, you know, when she had so much success. It was like, great, coming from Bainbridge Island.
Well, I know she feels absolutely the same about you. And I'm sad that she can't be here with us today. So I've seen you performing since you were, like I said, a kid. I can't even think about how young you must have been when I first saw you performing. But not everybody who participates in community theater decides that they want to go ahead and be an actor.
Like, right.
Do that with their lives. When did you decide you wanted to really pursue this seriously?
It was kind of a seamless transition between fun and career because ever since I was in kindergarten, I enjoyed doing it. And then I kind of found that community at Bainbridge Performing Arts, which was so cool. And that's where I spent most of my time. I mean, that's honestly where I grew up, and that's where I met a lot of my friends that I'm still friends with now. And so it was kind of one of those things where I just loved it so much. And, you know, when I was a kid, I had a very overactive imagination. I still kind of do. But you know, I loved Lord of the Rings, and we would play in my backyard with my neighbor, and we'd have the swords, and we'd run around. And then when I kind of figured out that you could actually potentially do this as a career, I was like, sign me up. That sounds great. I get to pretend, I get to play, I get to have fun, and, you know, it's a job, which is so cool. 'Cause I never really, growing up, I enjoyed baseball. I enjoyed playing baseball. It was funny. It was either be an actor or be a second baseman for the Boston Red Sox.
Ah.
Those were my two career paths. And acting, believe it or not, is probably easier to get into than specifically being a second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. But that dream left rather quickly. But yeah, it was really the only thing that I was interested in growing up.
Did you have anybody in particular who inspired you?
Early on, actually, the other kids at BPA. I think that was, like I said, it was such a great community, and you were able to, and it was such a safe space, which is so unique when you're in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, the worst years.
The worst. The worst, the hardest.
Yeah, really. And kids are so mean, and, you know, but it was when you would go to BPA, it would just be these wonderful classes and these really wonderful teachers and directors, and you got to play around, and it kind of helped me grow up in a weird way because, you know, we got to explore and kind of mature in artistic ways. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed the other kids that I would do the classes with. It was pretty cool.
Well, and then you participated in a lot of productions,
right,
at that playhouse. And the thing that's so neat to me about, and one of the many things about community theater, which I just love, mm-hmm, and I'm just a huge supporter of, is you get a chance to act with and work with people who are not your same age.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're doing The Secret Garden, the adults are played by adults.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And that's like a really other sort of level of educational experience for a young actor, because that's what it's like to work professionally.
Right, and you get to see these older actors work, and sometimes they'd come in from Seattle, and they'd be real professional working actors who've been doing it for 30 years. And so you kind of got that experience of doing the kids' productions, where you got to play the juicier roles, and then you got to go on the main stage productions and learn from all these working actors and see how an adult works and the maturity that they have and how they carry themselves. And I think I remember this the other day, where we were out in the back of BPA and we were trying to figure out how many plays we had done. And I think I was like 14 and I counted up to like 28 or some crazy number, which is just mind-boggling. I mean, we would do like 6 a year or something like that with all the classes and the main stages. And so, I mean, that was so... that was just so important in my upbringing and my artistic upbringing and getting the opportunity to hone my craft in that way.
I love hearing you say that because pretty much everybody that I know in the industry, you know, directors, producers, casting directors, agents, managers, what have you, they all feel really strongly that a theater background is so important.
Yeah.
And I think too, that again, that local theater opportunities are not taken as seriously as they could be and should be, because, you know, that forms the backbone of your artistic approach. I mean, it did with Dove too.
Absolutely. And I think now with kind of social media, and I feel like there's a big sense of instant gratification in the industry right now where it's like, oh, if I'm not at the top in the best movie or in the best show, then I'm not doing anything. And I feel like having that long-term approach and having that experience in the theater, and also when you're doing plays, you also know how the other departments in the theater work. You know how stage manager works. You have respect for the costumers. You learn to put your costumes away, which is so funny. I was working on a show recently and I was trying on my costumes. And once I was done, I put it on the hanger and I handed it back to them. And the costumer looked at me and he's like, "You must be a man of the theater. You know how to put your costume away." And I was like, "Yeah, of course."
I was, what does, like, everybody else do?
Do people not? And he's like, "No, people just throw it on the ground because they think, oh, I'm here to be an actor. That's all I do." But I think that the one of the most important things is to know what everyone else does, because, I mean, you respect it. It's a big thing. I totally think that theater is an important part of the process.
Well, it's a team sport, and frankly, so is film and TV.
Right.
You know, so
absolutely.
It's good training in all kinds of different ways that way. So I know you technically, I want to say, how did you get started? And I know you technically totally got started at BPA.
Right.
But then how else would you say you got started? Because BPA, you're in your mid-20s now, you're living in Los Angeles,
right,
and you've got a growing film career.
Right.
So something happened in between there.
Yeah. It does feel like kind of a slow climb. I found an agency, a small boutique agency in Seattle, and through a friend, she was doing modeling there, and my other friend and I went, and we got represented by them, and that was amazing because there was a period of time that a lot of independent movies were coming through Seattle, so I was able to audition for them, and I booked a couple of them, Fat Kid Rules the World being my first movie that I had done, and that was really exciting and still remains one of my favorite.
That's right, I didn't mention that.
It was great. Matthew Lillard, he was a great director. So I kind of got that opportunity to work in film in Seattle and get that under my belt. And then, I went to boarding school after that for acting at Idlewild Arts Academy. And then I went to college and also studied acting there, University of North Carolina School of the Arts. And through that, I got my agent. Through going to school, I got my agent, which I feel so lucky. I mean, that was probably the biggest thing for me, was the school allowed me to kind of bridge the gap between agent and actor that I don't know how I would have been able to connect with them in that way.
It's really challenging to get a good agent in LA. I mean, there's a lot of agents, but you want a good agent.
Right.
And the showcase that I'm guessing you participated in at the end of your 4 years in North Carolina.
Yes.
That's a heck of an opportunity
because
people take that education seriously, and, you know, agents and managers who come in looking for talent at those things, they're serious, and, you know, their expectations are high, but you can deliver because you've got the training at that point.
Right. And I had actually, so I had, before I went to boarding school, I have a friend who's an actress, and she introduced me to her manager just to kind of get to know what that might be like. And he introduced me to a junior manager in his division. And, you know, he was really nice. Nothing wound up happening. But then after I did Laggies, after my sophomore year of high school, maybe. Later, I don't know. It all blends together. I'm getting old. I don't know. Anyway, so after I did that, I was contacted by a different manager in a company that he since had moved to, Kim Callahan, who I'm still with and I love. She's awesome. So I was really lucky because she was able to kind of send me auditions while I was in college, and she totally got it. She was like, yeah, go do your training and come out to LA and we'll hit the ground running. And I think that was so great because I feel like a lot of people wouldn't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, no, come now or I'm going to drop you or whatever. But she totally got it. She saw the big picture. And I was fortunate enough. So my senior year at University of North Carolina School of the Arts, the dean had some connections with agents and casting directors in the industry. So during our senior year, he would bring down agents and managers and casting directors just to kind of talk to us, give us a sense of the industry before we graduated, before we did the showcase, and we would do mock auditions in front of them, which is a great opportunity. And I actually wound up getting my agent from one of those mock auditions. And so I had my agent before showcase, which was, I felt so lucky because it kind of took the pressure off and I was able to just, you know, enjoy and not have to take all these scary meetings and have to feel like I needed to impress these people. So that's how I met my agent, and then she connected me with an LA agent. Now I have one in New York, one in LA, and it was all these things that just kind of came up, and I said yes and sure, let's keep going, let's explore the journey.
Saying yes is a big thing.
Yeah,
you got to be in the right place at the right time too, but right. Then you got to say yes. So you attended both Idlewild,
right,
and University of North Carolina School for the Arts. How important would you say training has been for you?
For me, I think that it's been really important. With Idlewild Arts Academy, not only the arts education, but also there was a lot of international students and different artists at that school. So there were musicians, there were dancers, there were filmmakers, there were visual artists, there were actors. You know, it was a way to kind of get to know all these artists. And even though we were from different places, we all kind of had like minds. boarding school definitely helped me grow up in a huge way because you're away from home. And then I did have a period of time where after high school, I wasn't sure if I was going to go to LA or go to school because I had a couple movies under my belt. And so I was going back and forth, and it was really, I think we put down payment on my tuition like 2 days before the deadline because I really just wasn't sure. I was thinking, okay, I could go to LA right now and I could do this and I could, you know, make a career, or I could go to school for 4 years, which felt like a really long time, especially when you're 18.
Yeah.
And my dad said something which was, you know, you're not looking for a career for when you're 25. You're looking for a career for when you're 40.
Mm.
And although obviously you don't need training to have a career for when you're 40, but it kind of allowed me to look at the big picture and see it as a marathon and not a sprint, and just kind of hone my craft, which I felt was so important. I mean, I kind of had the mindset of, okay, I'll go to school for 1 year. And if I don't like it or I don't feel like I learned a lot, and I can always go to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And then after my first year, I learned so much and I made such great friends and I felt inspired every day. And so it was a kind of a no-brainer after my first year where I was like, okay, yes, this is the place to go. And you know, they trained you in not only acting, but I got dance training and singing training and mask work, which is, you know, more physical, and just a lot of different avenues that I feel like I would have never experienced if I had just come to LA and done an acting class or whatever. So I definitely felt like they set me up for a long-term career.
That's good advice. And it is, it's really hard when you're 18, and especially in your case, you had some success already. So you had a reasonable it was not an unreasonable thought to just go straight to LA and go for it.
Sure.
I just read a survey of the educational background of the last 30 years of Oscar winners, actors and actresses. And I think precisely 2/3 of them had some sort of university training.
Right.
1/3 did not.
There you go.
You know, and so, you know, clearly you can go either way.
Right.
And the question is, what's right for you? And I love the idea that you didn't make it an all or nothing, like, okay, 4 years, here I go. But like, I'm going to try this and I'm going to see, and then we'll go from there, which is really a good way to do all kinds of things.
Because it's, and it's not for everyone, you know, sometimes training does, sometimes people really have, an intuitive sense for acting and character and whatever. And sometimes training really does mess them up. But I think if it works for you, it works for you. And there should be no shame in doing it and no shame in not doing it. You know, it's whatever you feel like your process needs. And, but I think the important thing to remember is that it is a marathon and not a sprint. And, you know, look ahead for the next 20 years. Four years out of the next 20 is not a lot.
It's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And I love the way you frame that. Like, no shame with whatever your choices are. You got to do whatever's right for you. And what's right for you is just, it's its own unique path.
Right.
You know? And yeah, some people, that's not their path, but it's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever path you take is the right one for you at that time.
Yeah.
That's the only way to look at it.
Yeah. And no judging other people for taking different paths.
Right.
Whatever that might look like. But like, stepping back and sort of what you've observed now on the other side of it, you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
You did take that path. What are your thoughts in general about that? Because it's like a real, as you know from your own story, like, it's a real choice that is kind of like, what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, I see it as I've added to my tool belt. If I went to LA right after high school, I maybe would have been able to do it, but I would have been able to do one thing, and I would have been able to do my thing. I would have been able to be Dylan and, you know, would have maybe been fine, but now I definitely feel like I have the tools to dig deeper into characters and learn to make more interesting choices and all those things that you don't really think about. And I also, I mean, the thing that I really loved about the school that I went to is that I met a lot of people in my class that are still my very close friends. And other disciplines at that school, you collaborate with them post-graduation. So they have a great film program at UNCSA. And when I came out here, I've worked on like 3 projects all run by UNCSA crew. And they're I cannot stress enough, they are so good. They know the film school, they know so much. And I worked on Halloween with David Gordon Green and Danny McBride, who went there. And not only them, but a lot of the crew went there as well. And so it just kind of gave this family environment, and it was fun, and it wasn't a stressful movie making process. Everyone enjoyed doing it. And so I think the connections, honestly, were just as crucial as the training, because after you graduate, you have all these industry professionals who are at the top of their game, who know who you are. And once you say, oh, I went to UNCSA, they're like, great. I know that you know something about this. So come on, let's work together. And that's my experience in UNCSA. That's, I'm sure, the case in a lot of other conservatories as well.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because I think one of the huge upsides and one of the huge selling points of any college, university, conservatory, what have you, in any program whatsoever, is the network that you get out of participating in that environment, that can open doors and create opportunities for the rest of your life. And it's no less true in the arts than it is in, you know, the legal profession or some other completely different field.
It's about, like, who you know.
A lot of it's just like, well, it gives people a shorthand. It gives people a sense of trust.
Right.
And again, you're you can walk in the door that might be open to you. You're not going to stay in the room if you're not qualified.
Sure.
You know, you get the open door, but you right. the rest of it is on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that doesn't change. But that's a really good point.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I definitely don't regret doing it. And I don't think any of my classmates would either. Because also so many of them work. They're constantly working, which is so cool.
It is really cool, especially in this industry, which is just so non-linear.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, jobs are few and far between, so get work where you can.
So you've already mentioned you found your agent and manager essentially through your school?
My manager I was with before I went to school, but yeah, my agent, Sam Chalk, who's with Gersh, I met through school, essentially. She was one of the agents that came down. We did a little mock audition, and then she reached out, thankfully. Thank you, Sam. And then she introduced me to Louise Keshavaya, who's my agent in L.A., and it just kind of worked out that way. It was, I mean, I was very lucky.
What advice do you have for people around auditions? Auditions are nerve-wracking for a lot of people. I would say probably most actors.
Yeah.
And so it's always nice to hear, you know, the advice of somebody who's actually gone through and booked a number of nice things. And, you know, you've got a sense of perspective at this point. What advice would you give to somebody who is looking for it?
That no audition is make or break. You know, you can love an audition, but honestly, and love it and work on it, but don't love it too much. Don't get attached to it. Attachment is the biggest thing. Not getting attached to the individual auditions. And just enjoying it and having fun and saying screw it when you go in the room. And not trying to impress them. Not trying to give them what you think they want, but doing what you do. And if they respond to it, great. If they don't, it doesn't mean you're bad. It just means that, you know, there wasn't right for this part. And there will be another one. There's always another audition. And I think back to, there's a clip of The Office auditions. All the other actors that they screen tested for The Office. And it was like Seth Rogen and Adam Scott all these, you know, actors who you see and are super successful, and they were all good, but it would just be a different show. It would just be a completely different show if they were the ones that got cast. So it kind of puts it in perspective to be like, it's just kind of an intuition thing sometimes when an actor comes in, and it doesn't mean the other ones are bad. You just kind of got to wait for your opportunity. And it's interesting. I've actually been doing this recently, which helps me stay loose in the audition. Relaxation, 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 and breathing. Those, in everything, in life, in acting, in auditions, and whatever, that is the key, because no one wants to see an actor all tense and trying to do too much and having all this energy bottled in. You know, you want to see them relaxed and confident in what they're doing. But what I've been playing with recently, and it worked for one of the jobs that I got, is when you get the audition, sometimes I'll look at it and I'll be like, okay, how can I get this audition? How can I get this role? But tricking myself into thinking I already have the role and I'm just going in to film, because it gives me a lot more freedom. And it's like, great, I don't have to get this job. I already have this job. I can play around with it. And of course there's a balance, because again, no attachment. Don't get attached to it, but just kind of bringing yourself to it and having fun.
I love that. That's great advice. Any advice for self-tapes?
Get a good reader, which helps when you have a lot of great friends who are great actors. I mean, self-tapes, I personally don't like self-taping as much as going in the room, just because I feel like there's a disconnect of the energy. I like seeing the casting director. I always feel like I do a better job in the room. But if you're self-taping, have fun, and also don't be too hard on yourself, because it's really hard when you film it and then you're watching yourself and trying to pick out the best one. It's like, I don't know. They're all different. They're all you know, in a lot of people's mind, they're all bad, but they're not. That's never the case. You just can't watch yourself. But yeah, just to play around and do outrageous things. I want to try to implement more not doing a basic standard self-tape, just a blank wall and good lighting. I want to try to, like, you know, if the scene's at a kitchen table, maybe doing it at a kitchen table, mm-hmm. making it look like the scene in the movie. I don't know. I saw a self-tape for an actor who was in the new season of Wet Hot American Summer. And his name's Skylar Jacinto. Mm-hmm. And he works all the time. But he did his self-tape. The scenes were on a baseball diamond. And he literally went out on a baseball diamond and did the scenes there. And, you know, he's been working forever. So if I were him, I'd feel a little more confident messing around with my self-tape like that. But, you know, I think that showing them something that they haven't seen before will always intrigue them. Mm-hmm. And it'll always make them remember you, regardless if you get the role or not.
What has surprised you so far on this journey?
How important casting director relationships are. Because when I came out here, I was just ignorant about it. I just didn't know. They're like, oh yeah, they facilitate the audition and then find the actors, whatever. But the casting director is like, they're the ones that call you back. They're the ones that tell the directors, no, check out this guy. Trust me, check out this guy. And they listen to them. And it's like, that is just a huge thing that I think people overlook. And back to the auditions, you know, when I said not having one audition be make or break, it's all a process. You don't know when you go into an audition, you don't know if that'll lead to another audition. In 6 months, that casting director might be like, oh, I saw him come in for this thing. He wasn't right for that, but let's bring him in for this thing. And then that winds up being the one. So yeah, casting director relationships probably, I guess surprised me. I guess I knew, but I didn't know to what extent it really was that mm-hmm. important.
You can know something intellectually, but not fully grasp the enormity
absolutely.
Of the truth of it.
That's a good way to put it. Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm surprised every day because there's no rhyme or reason to any of this stuff. You can't formulate it. You can't figure out why you're getting something and why you're not getting another thing. You just can't. There's no use spending your time worrying about why or why not. You just gotta keep the joy, find the joy, and, you know, keep living life, keep breathing.
keep swimming.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we started taping, you and I were talking about the fact that this is such an odd career because, like, unlike any other normal career, like you, there's a kind of a trajectory to it that you
right.
can anticipate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you're in a, I'll say when you're in a quote unquote normal job, when you go to the office or whatever, there's a very, it's a very definite ladder that you climb. You start at the bottom and you get to the top. And if you come to work and you do your job and you get your work done, you'll get promoted.
Yeah, you
and
can
if you
expect.
Keep doing that. You can expect, okay, I'm starting at the bottom, but in 20 years, I will be at the top as long as I do my work and as long as I'm nice to people.
Yep.
That's just how it will happen. But in acting, it's like one day you could be at the bottom and you could get a call that says, hey, they want you to be the lead of the next Marvel movie, and your life is completely flipped, turned upside down. It's like really weird. It's really weird that we subject ourselves to this, but there's no other career path, I guess. There's nothing else I'd rather do, so you just have to.
You're one of those creatures. If there's nothing
yeah.
else you'd rather do, then it's worth the roller coaster.
Right, right. And it is really hard because it's really easy to get discouraged, but I, you know, I keep telling myself, it's like, I would rather not work for 6 months and then get the perfect thing as opposed to getting a job next week and having it be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that long haul. It's that long trajectory. And that's kind of what keeps me sane. And I feel like people sane in this industry is just trusting and continuing the process.
Trusting, having faith, and keeping an eye on the big picture.
Right.
Totally. What do you think is important and not important for success?
I think it's important to remember who you are and appreciate the people around you. I think it's important for success. I mean, keeping your head on your shoulders and not getting lost in the shuffle of it all. But and also just keep going. I mean, the people who make it in this industry are the ones that don't give up. You know, you can say, oh yeah, I was here for 5 years and I didn't get anything. I'm going to give up. But then the sixth year might be the one. And it is tough. It is tough. Cause like, at what point do you say, okay, this is not working. But you hear about these brilliant actors who are now 40 years old who say, yeah, I didn't work for 10 years, 10 years. 10 years. That's crazy. But they just keep going because they know that they have to. And so I think that drive and that grit and that perseverance is really important for success. What's not important for success? I don't know. That's a tough, but I guess the opposite of those things is not important for success.
Well, and it's true. I mean, the opposite of those things would look something like, you know, being very focused on the near term,
right,
and forgetting where you come from,
right,
and not honoring your relationships.
And not being a dick to people. Like, right, that, like honestly, like that,
yeah,
being nice to people is so underrated because, especially on set, I feel like there's this big arrogance that comes with a lot of actors that when they're the lead of the movie, they're okay, I want this, I want that. And you know, obviously not everyone's like that, but I think the people that aren't like that are the ones that are going to be working for a long time. It's the people that know everyone's names and respect everyone. And you know, that PA, they're probably going to film school and they're probably writing a script right now that's probably going to win an Oscar. You know, it's like just stuff like that. Just not thinking that you're better than anyone, because no one is.
Yes.
Ever.
I could not agree more strongly with everything you just said. I believe passionately in the truth of that. What are your methods for staying positive and focused on your vision through this roller coaster?
I mean, having other things that interest me. I mean, acting is one of those things that it's just kind of, I feel like, in my bones and in my blood. And like, long term, I won't do anything else. But I mean, it's really hard when you're just waiting for the next audition, just working on that audition, then you go to it, then it's over, what now? So I found a lot of different things. I'm writing more, and I like rock climb a lot, you know, just finding hobbies and kind of finding ways to distract yourself from the audition process. Staying positive. I mean, I've always been a pretty positive person, which I'm very thankful for. I'm not sure if that's just how I was born. My parents, I credit them as well. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But yeah, just finding the joy in things. I think it's really easy to take life too seriously and take all this stuff too seriously. And just having fun and remembering that you love it. And also looking at auditions as a chance to perform, not as a chance to get a job. You never want to go in to get a job. You know, you want to go in and say, this is who I am, this is what I've got, have fun performing it, and then let it go the second you walk out of that room. I think probably having a short-term memory and when it comes to auditioning is really important. You know, not clinging onto those things, because I've been in the position where I feel like this audition is so perfect and I love it so much, and maybe I've gotten two callbacks and I'm waiting for the phone to ring, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And sometimes they don't tell you if you don't get it. Usually they don't. The good ones don't. The good agents and managers don't, because they just, you know, it trains you to just, okay, if it comes along, great, I'll be pleasantly surprised, but not waiting for this phone call. I remember there was one, I forget what the project was, which is funny because I was so obsessed with it at the time.
Good though.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to remember. But yeah, it was one of those things where I went in like twice or three times for it. I met with the director. I did the producer session thing. I did that whole thing. I hadn't heard for like 3 weeks and I was still waiting to hear. And then I emailed my manager and I was like, hey, what's the deal with this? They're like, oh, yeah, like, you didn't get that. That was, like, 3 weeks ago that they said that you didn't get it. Part of me was like, all right, well, give me a heads up. Let me know so I can stop worrying about it. But it kind of taught me to just not worry about any of them and just keeping that positive energy going out towards the next one. And my dad, who I talk about this stuff with a lot, always says, you don't want the next best thing. You want the best next thing.
Ooh.
You want the next job that is going to be right for you. You don't want the next job, but you want the next job that's going to be right. And so if I have to wait an extra month or, you know, an extra year, I know I want to work because it's so much fun. But yeah, I'll wait a year if I get the perfect job. And, you know, obviously perfection is not attainable by any means, but in that sense.
One that's a really delicious fit.
Yes, exactly. One that I can learn and grow and sink my teeth into. Exactly.
Yeah. What have been some challenges for you?
The challenges are mixed with the positivity because, you know, I'll get frustrated and I'll get kind of discouraged. I mean, it's all hard. It's all a challenge. It's everything. Auditioning and life and living and whatnot. It's all a challenge. But embracing the challenges, I think, is the most important thing to do. Not getting too hung up on one audition, that's probably the biggest challenge for me, especially when I really like it. Because there's a part of my head where I'm saying, okay, don't worry about it. Let it go. Have fun. It's not that important. But then there's always another part of my head that's like, no, this could be it. This could be the one. Don't you want to get it? And it's that voice saying, no, you got it. And then the other one saying, no, hang, chill, it's fine. That's the biggest challenge is probably within myself, just breathing that out and allowing myself to truly practice what I preach. But it's so hard. I mean, it's hard for everyone. It's never easy to just say, this is how I want to approach life. Okay, I'll do it.
And then on top of that, I mean, I just kind of feel like I want to throw this out there. You're in your 20s.
Right.
And like any human being in their 20s is figuring all kinds of stuff out.
Right.
And then this is on top of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a thing. Well, you're doing quite well, it looks like. So congratulations. So how do you handle what people typically call rejection? I don't really think of it myself as rejection, but a lot of people frame it that way. Like when you go in and, you know, you don't get the role that maybe you really want.
I don't think of it as rejection. I think of it more as redirection.
Mm.
You know, it's not saying, because rejection just seems like, no, everything about you is bad in this situation. And that's not it at all.
You're rejected.
Yeah, exactly. You're rejected. You're nothing. Like, go out with the trash. Like, that's how it sounds, but it's not at all. It's just about the long process and approaching everything as a process. And I love, there's this video with Bryan Cranston, and he's saying, you know, once I was able to get past, if I don't get a job, it was never mine to get. It wasn't mine that I lost. It's like finding a wallet and having it be someone else's wallet. And it's like, oh, here, that's your wallet.
It's just not.
Take it. Congratulations, you found your wallet. You know, it's like.
Yep.
And I remember watching that and that being so important to me. Because it's not. It's never that you're bad. It's never that you're not worthy or whatever.
The fact is, I mean, this just strikes me right now, but the fact is, if you have the opportunity to walk into that room and audition for a role or send in a self-tape, right away, you're good enough.
Right.
They
want to see you.
They want to see you.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of other choices.
Right.
And they only have so many slots, even if it's self-tapes,
right,
to look at. And so, frankly, if you had that opportunity for the audition at all, you're good enough.
Exactly.
So you can just like set that baby aside.
Especially for a young actor going into a casting director's office, chances are they also saw an actor who has been working for years on that same day in that same room, reading those same lines, giving them the same feedback. It's very just kind of humbling to realize, okay, everyone's got a chance, and your time is just as valuable as anyone else's. I mean, you're like, I remember someone saying, they're renting the room for you. You know, that's your time. That is your stage. You are there for free to perform for them. They're reserving that time for you.
And I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a great mindset. Because it's like, yes, I'm going to perform. And also, you want me to be good just as much as I want me to be good. when I got Halloween, the casting office that I went in for, I went in so many times for different projects and got callbacks. And I didn't get them. And they were like, we're going to find you something. So they brought me in for director session just for Halloween, straight to director session, which was great. And that's how that worked out. And then what I found out later is a different casting director that wasn't even related to the project had a relationship with the director. And she said, no, 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 I've seen this guy before. You should definitely go for it. And so, I mean, that goes back to talking about how casting, the relationships with casting directors is really the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Because even if they're not working on the project, they know those directors because they've worked with them before. And they trust each other.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's so huge. Yeah. And it's just, it's really true. You have no idea and you cannot ever know what
right.
projects are ahead for that casting director. They may not know what
right.
projects are ahead in 2 months, 6 months, 12 months,
mm-hmm.
2 years, where they're like, oh my gosh, I know who I want to see for this.
Right.
Because they've seen you before for some other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back to the positivity, I sometimes like thinking, okay, the perfect job is percolating out there for me right now. Maybe it's an idea. Maybe it hasn't been written yet. But it's that kind of, I mean, and some people might say, oh, that's just the, you know, that's just like what makes you so special or whatever, you know. But that's, A, if it works for you, if it works for you, you know. But also it's just that putting that energy out there. And I totally believe that. I mean, I think something for everyone, their perfect thing is percolating out there somewhere. And you've just got to keep yourself open to receiving it.
I love that. And I personally very strongly believe in that. I've just seen too much. Pretty much everybody I can think of that I know in this industry, whatever occupation they are in with that,
right.
you know, actors or whatever, they are relentlessly positive. And it's like a way of being. And it's an energy mm-hmm. that attracts similar energy.
Right.
And the reverse of that is equally true. You know, if you are constantly putting out negative, dark, heavy energy,
mm-hmm.
frankly, nobody wants to be around that.
Right.
It repels opportunity. It does not attract mm-hmm. opportunity. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's not mysterious.
It's a negative force.
It's a negative force.
Just pushing things away.
It pushes things away. And it's not mysterious. It's not woo-woo. It's just kind of logical,
mm-hmm.
frankly. And so, you know, if you want to have opportunities and you're having a hard time with that, maybe one of the important things might be to do some inner work on your attitude.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, attitude won't get you jobs, but attitude plus talent plus a few other things, it's one of the components.
And it's also, it's a very subtle, it's like a very subtle thing when you go into an audition. If there's even a thought in your mind of, oh, there's a better actor out there for this. Oh, he looks better for the role. Oh, whatever, you know, so I'm probably not going to get this. Even if you're not thinking that at the time when you go in the room, that's there. That's present within you. And they might not be able to put their finger on it, but they're going to look at you and be like, nah, he didn't seem very confident.
They're gonna feel it because people do read energy.
Yeah.
You know, some are certainly better at it than others, but
and even people who don't think about it do, and they just don't know, but it's totally a thing.
They don't know why they have this feeling, but they have this feeling.
If someone walks into a room and they're pissed off the second they walk in, you're gonna be like, oh, something going on with them.
Yeah.
And vice versa, if someone is having a great day and they come in, they boost the energy of the room. It's just human nature.
Are they a joy to be around? Are they problematic?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, frankly, and I've said this before, but I think it can't be said enough, you know, these projects, whether it's film or TV or what have you, you know, by the time they're in a casting process, you know, and they've been
right.
greenlit and people are, you know, writing checks, money is moving around them. We're talking years of people's lives of work
right.
to get a project to that level, years of their lives, high stakes and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And nobody's gonna feel like they want to, you know, invest in somebody, bring somebody into that high stakes, very personal
mm-hmm.
Project ultimately, who's not going to help carry it with their energy
right.
and who's going to be maybe difficult.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
why would you do that to
yeah,
yourself?
Exactly. Yeah. It just risking ruining the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which
can happen,
yeah.
you know, sadly, really
Absolutely.
Tragically. So I know, because I've just known you since you were a kid, and I cannot tell you how delightful it is to be sitting here with you.
I know, it's amazing.
I can't.
It's, it's so cool.
I'm thoroughly just delighted. I'm just so darn happy to see you. So I know, and because also you've told me that you've wanted to be an actor, like, practically as far back as you can remember, but
right.
just for fun, if you weren't an actor, what do you think you might be doing?
Probably something in, like, developmental psychology or you know, psychology in some sense. I mean, my dad studied that, and he's working in that field right now, working on education and figuring out how young people learn, and because up until this point, everyone's kind of been taught the same way in the same curriculum in public schools, and now they're figuring out, oh, wait, brains are built differently. Different people learn different ways. That's my case. When I was in school, the teachers probably were hitting their head against the walls when I was in class because I had so much energy, and whenever we would do a project and it would be hands-on, I would love it. But I could not read. I could not focus on... I mean, I could read, but I could not focus
Clearly
on...
Clearly, you can read a script.
Yes. Yeah. But, I have people read those to me, Bonnie. But I could not, like, sit down and focus on something. I was a kinesthetic learner, so
yeah.
I needed to touch. That's what stimulated my brain. And so I think that that's a really noble field, and you know, it's kind of similar. It has to do with people and understanding people, and that's what acting is mm-hmm. kind of digging deep into a character, figuring out what makes them tick. And I've always felt like I have a good sense of people, mm-hmm. and when I meet someone, you know, obviously I don't jump to conclusions because I don't know you, but I always kind of felt like I was able to read somewhat, people's thought processes. So probably digging into that more would be really fascinating. So yeah, something with that, but I don't know. It's so interesting because it's one of those things where of course I have fun acting and I love doing it. And there are certain roles and certain scenes that are just fun, but then sometimes it's not the word fun is not it, but it just feels right. It's one of those things that when you do it, it just feels right. And that's so cool. That's just such a cool feeling. It's like a kind of magical energy when you're in a scene with someone. It just kind of flies.
Yeah.
And it's really, I said that to an acting teacher and I was like, it's so weird because I feel like I should be having fun. I'm not having fun, but I love it and it feels right. And he's like, that's exactly it, man.
It's like, not exactly always it. Fun.
It's
actually.
Not always fun, but just because it's not fun, quote unquote, doesn't mean it's not fun. It just means that it's, you know, and it is work. It's hard work. It's mentally work. Taxing.
Yeah, it is work. And some of it is really, really, really hard work. But if you're deeply engaged in it, it's like, what's more satisfying than that?
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty rewarding when you're able to really connect with someone. And also just the fact that it's new every time is so exciting. And that's another piece of advice, is to not try to recreate what you've done before. That is a big thing because, you know, in life, things come and go and we say things in weird ways that we're like, why did I put the inflection on that? But it just that's how you say it and you move on. And I think that young actors, old actors, any actor can get trapped in being like, this is how I should say this. This is how this line should sound in my head. But then you're predetermining how you're going to do it without the other person in the room. You've got to read off the other person and just let it be new each time.
I'm so happy you brought that up because I see that. And I think it's what's the death of a lot of actors' careers,
mm-hmm.
is like a kind of an attachment to saying things a particular way that they've practiced.
Right.
It means that they're inflexible. It means that they are difficult to direct. They can't
right.
take direction if they're committed to a certain way. And they're also not being present and available to the dynamic of the person they're playing
right.
with, which kills the sense of truth.
Yeah, exactly. And the spontaneity of it, which is why I think people love watching it. And when you see a good actor, sometimes you don't know what makes them so good, but there's just something about it. And I think it's the spontaneity and it's the relaxation and it's the stuff going on underneath. But yeah, there are so many times, and I've of course found this in myself. There are so many times where you're in a scene with someone and if their line is, "I hate you," they could say it angry. They could be like, "I hate you," or they could go, "I hate you." And your response is going to be totally different depending on how they say it.
And it better be.
And if, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it better be. Because if you, but if you go into it thinking I'm going to say it this way, then it's not going to be, you're not going to be playing off the other person.
Truth is not in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I think when people watch film and TV, it's, they're looking for something that feels real. They're looking for a level of truth, mm-hmm. you know,
that human connection.
Yeah. Yeah. That sense of reality.
Yeah.
So any advice for kids who want this life? And by kids, I mean that very loosely. Anyone yeah. that 30 to me is a
yes,
kid.
Yes. make sure you enjoy it. You know, I think that's probably the most important thing is make sure you love it. Make sure you really love it in order to do it. If there's anything you would rather do more or even just as much, do that, because it's going to be easier than this profession. I mean, even working actors, quote unquote, don't work for 6 to 8 months and then they work again, you know? So it's really, really, really tough. So you've got to make sure that you love it. And if anyone can talk you out of it, then you shouldn't do it.
that's a great litmus test. If anyone can talk you out of it, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that means that, you know, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's not a bad thing at all. But you've got to know that it's in your bones and that you can hear no 300 times and work towards that one yes and keep grinding away, because otherwise you're going to be unhappy.
Yeah. And yeah. Life's too short for that. You should exactly. find something where you can feel
life
happy.
Life is too short to be unhappy. Absolutely.
Anything else you want to share, Dylan?
No, I don't know. Probably, I'll probably be in the car on the way home and be like, "Oh, I wish I said this. Oh, I should have said this." But no, it was so lovely talking to you about this.
So fun. So fun to have you on here. Everybody, you should follow Dylan on social media, on Twitter. You can find him at Dylan Hey Arnold, which cracks me up.
Yeah.
So that's just DylanHeyArnold. And the same handle on Instagram, right?
Yep.
Dylan
Hey Arnold. Love that show when I was growing up.
Shout out to 90s kids.
Hey Arnold, let's go. Here we go. Arnold.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, take a second and subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com, sign up at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you're a young actor or just curious about how your favorite actors got their start, buy my new book, Young Hollywood Actors, on Amazon. And if you're the parent of a young actor, you can get the Hollywood Parents Guide on Amazon too. Finally, for one-on-one coaching, invest in a consultation session with me over phone, Skype, or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.